If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I hate to say this. I caught all kinds of flack for saying I was a Raiders fan, but I stuck with it.
Don't mess with me. I'm one crazy mofo. I had to pop a cop because he wasn't giving my props in Oaktown.
Jeff Lutz.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
I wouldn't you just say, oh, my God, we're 1-2. The sky's falling. It happens.
You don't get to determine what the Chiefs
I do. I should.
No,
they
don't.
Should listen to me because I'm a voice of reason.
97.5 in 1240 KFH.
Don't touch that guy.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. I believe that was a new intro, was it not?
I like it.
How about that? I was really good in that one. Thank you, Max.
Wasn't listening.
Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you for the next couple of hours. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline, as we talk about a plethora of things, including the baseball playoffs. Mets even
Dodgers,
it up.
Dodgers, Mets, good stuff.
Mets even it up last night against the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium, one of the meccas of Major League Baseball. Will the Guardians do the same in maybe the mecca of Major League Baseball, Yankee Stadium, tonight? How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I feel like crap. How about that? I feel like absolute garbage. I don't enjoy this. This isn't fun for me. I'm in a dark place.
Isn't this what you want your team to do?
I watch the games paralyzed in fear. There's nothing friendly about it. There's no good vibes. We don't have our announcers. We don't have our home stadium. It's dark. It's windy. It's the Bronx. It's
well, you looked
ominous.
Out of your element last night.
No, we had one guy pitch poorly. I mean, let's
just describe being out of your element, and
no,
I'm agreeing with you. You're saying it's dark, it's windy, I don't have my announcements,
I'm
you're whining, you're finding every... I'm agreeing with you.
No, you're not. I don't need you agreeing with me. I need you asking me how I feel and then stepping aside. You don't get to agree or disagree with...
Well, you describe being out of your element. And I said that, and then I get pushback. It looked to me like the Guardians... didn't quite have their feet settled last night.
Oh, well, it happens. It's not like they played horribly. They had a bad stretch where a rookie pitcher who's never pitched in anything like
what
that
about
situation.
Alex Cobb? He's not very good.
Yeah, but you could deal with Alex Cobb giving up a run or two.
11? I mean, my goodness. So throw the ball over the plate.
Stop. It's one game. And who knows what's going to happen tonight? No one knows.
I'm pulling for you, but
it could be 12-0. It could be 11-9. It could be 1-0. You never know with baseball. That's what makes it so maddening.
Cole and Bybee, the aces, won't have the wind, it doesn't sound like it was last night. Knocked down a few balls, but it certainly didn't knock down Giancarlo Stanton. My goodness.
Fine. Brian Rocchio homered too. Who cares?
Yeah, he was good. Can I just say something?
No. No, you're not going to say anything that...
Is this how you're going to be? Because I'll get Duda right back over here.
Call him.
Duda, come on over.
I figured it'd be three-man today anyway. Is it tomorrow?
I don't know if he's available. But I'm going to say this about Giancarlo
Stanton. There's nothing you can say about Giancarlo
he's
Stanton.
He's standing up there right now like he's the most confident hitter in the world. And I want nothing to do with him. I'm not pitching to him. I may not even look at him.
He might break his ankle walking to first, and I hope he does. I'm not one of those guys. I wish every bit of ill will on the Yankees, on their fans, on everybody who shows. They didn't even get to the game on time last night. You see all those empty seats at Yankee Stadium, your mecca in the ALCS? You're not going to see that in Cleveland. It's just gross. I hate the Yankees. It's not even that they're good. I just hate them. And I have fans.
I wish Duda
I have friends
was here.
Who are Yankee fans.
Who? Give me one.
Zach Quarter, who said, I love you more than I love the Yankees. I don't love you more than I love the Guardians.
You don't love Zach?
No, not more than the Guardians. And I don't love Jamin more than I love the Guardians.
You're kidding.
And I don't love very many people.
You love a baseball organization more than you love your friends.
Yes.
Well, that's a horrible thing.
If Zach was playing a best of seven bowling tournament match out at Fireside Lanes or whatever, and I'd root for him to lose right now.
That's a horrible thing to say. Did he reach out to you last night?
He reached out to me Saturday, Sunday.
What about Jamin? Did he reach out to you?
No, Jamin hasn't reached out. Jamin's texted me about WSU basketball. And Jamin, if you're listening, I don't care.
Well, you do care. You just don't care right now.
I don't care right now.
And if you'd won last night, you'd be in a much better frame of mind.
I don't know that I would.
You would. And the Mets, listen, they're in a good frame of mind. All you got to do is go win tonight, and you're in a good frame of mind again.
Even
go home, tied 1-1. You got three games in Cleveland, and you try to win two of them and go back to Yankee Stadium and figure out a way to split those last two.
I think
two.
Guard's winning seven. It seems set up to win in seven.
Well, I wish you the best. We're pulling for you here.
I'm kind of relieved that I'm going to Vegas and I don't have to just lock in on the Guardians. It makes me physically ill. I'm serious. I get ill during those games.
Tell me, don't describe too much detail, but when you say physically ill, you throw up?
Not that end.
Really? You get physically ill?
Yes.
What a weak-minded individual.
Three times during.
Do you know how many times I've watched the Cardinals?
And, I don't like it.
And just thrive on it.
No, you don't.
I thrive on it.
No, you don't. If you thrive in that environment, you're not a real fan.
I sat down here for Game 7 of the 2011 World Series, I was on a roller coaster of emotions like you've never seen. My wife was right there with me.
That's different.
We were side by side on the loop de loop,
and you weren't happy. And
of course, I was happy.
It just feels like something is being taken from me personally. This is an organization and a manager and players and fans who deserve to feel the feeling one time.
But you won't enjoy it.
Yeah, because I'm
not
fake. You're
not
like,
even enjoying
DJ LeMahieu, blah, 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 blah,
you're
blah.
You're not even enjoying the journey. And when they get into Cleveland, Jose.
Yeah, because we're spontaneous.
The dumbest fans you'll ever see.
Yeah, because we chant when something happens. We don't just call out people's names like morons.
I think it's great what they do. And LeMahieu, by the way, not on the roster.
I understand, but it was funny.
It's great how they call roll.
No, it's not. It's stupid.
It's unique. Nobody else does that.
Let's call roll while 4,500 people are still filing in because they couldn't bother to get here on time.
I love watching games at Yankee Stadium.
No, you don't.
Of course I do.
No, you don't.
I enjoyed watching the game last night. I'm not
what was enjoyable
up in it
about
like
that?
You are. Well, I like watching good baseball.
Good
team.
For you.
I'm able to look at
it. Oh, I saw a guy's career get wrecked last night, but I enjoyed it.
Well, that guy, like my wife said, I feel terrible for him. My retort to that was, this is the big leagues.
Is that what you said when Rick Ankiel was doing it?
This is the big leagues.
Exactly. You felt bad, and you had some compassion. Hopefully, when it happened to your guy, but not when it happens to somebody else.
I think
he'll be fine. Bo Naylor couldn't get in front of a ball to save his life. And he also can't get a hit. So what's he doing out there?
Everything. Von Herrera.
Everything.
Well, no, really. What do we get?
You can have Emmanuel Clase for him.
Really? That's how badly you want to catch him?
I want some offense in my lineup. Getting the last three outs is great.
No, we want prospects. What will you give us?
You can just take your pick.
What about Wilson Contreras? Would you give us something?
He can't catch.
He's not bad.
Ivan Herrera really can't catch. They don't even trust him.
All right, Pedro Páez. What do you give us?
I'll give you a wind surge back. That's where he should be playing, in Double A.
All right, Jeff, beside himself. I don't even know why we want your team to get to the postseason, because this is how you behave.
All this is, just like when Lane Thomas hit the Grand Slam the other day. I went nuts, obviously. It's just a release of emotion because you can't really do it during the game because, again, you're paralyzed with fear, locked up, can't say or do anything. So when it comes out in extreme fashions. And this is what you're seeing right now.
Well, you need help. You need help.
No, I love this about me.
No, I don't. Nobody loves this about you.
Nobody? I don't see Duda coming to your rescue.
I don't see your wife coming to yours.
Well, I don't think she's listening.
She has to live with this nonsense.
She gets it, and she cares, and she...
Did she watch the game with you last night?
She was in the room for some of it.
Boy, now that tells you everything.
She hung out.
That tells you everything.
She hung out. She was in the room. She wasn't really watching, but, you know, we hung out.
Well, that tells you everything.
I'd rather not watch.
Well, then don't watch.
I have to.
You don't have to do anything.
I'm so looking forward to going home and taking a little nap so I don't have to think about it for a little while.
Why not just sleep through it?
I wish I could.
You could.
No, I can't. I'm locked. I can't.
Well, that's too bad.
I was dead
tired. You've
described
an insane man.
I was dead tired on the drive home from Denver yesterday, and then get in front of the game.
I hope you let Aaron drive a little.
No, when my wife came and got us, or traded, you know, in Salina. Dead tired after that. She was driving. But then I get in front of the game, I'm just mesmerized. Probably didn't blink.
You had some opportunities.
We did.
Jose couldn't get a big hit.
Well, nor could Will Brennan.
I don't depend on Will Brennan to get big hits.
I don't think he should have been batting in that situation.
I depend on Jose to get big hit.
He hit the ball hard a few times last night.
Yeah, but he didn't get the big hit.
He didn't.
Came up with two on, three-run game. Had a shot at it. I mean, that's the guy you want up.
Got to be better.
It's the guy you want up. All right, here's what we have for you on the show today. Jeremiah Meeks, the head football coach at Wellington, will join us at 2:25. They're coming strong in Wellington. He's really done a good job with that football program, and we'll talk to him here shortly. At 2:45, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will talk about the Chiefs and how the NFL's shaken out. And then later in the day, we'll have a game. The Jets didn't get it done against Buffalo last night. Who covered in that tilt? Do we know?
I don't know what the spread was or the score.
It was 2.5. What was the score of that?
I think Buffalo won by 3, right?
What was the score of that ball game?
I don't know.
I know Buffalo won, but did they win? Did they cover? That's the question I have, and they did by 3. So we all got that game right. And I can tell you how the picks went. If you're interested.
Sure, go for it.
I don't know that you are. I mean, maybe you're not. I went 6-2. I did miss the bonus game. So 21, 24, 29, minus 6. 23 points for yours.
29 you got?
Yeah, and I missed the bonus game for 6. You had a good week. You went 5-3. You got the bonus game. So you get 10, 18, 27, 28. 35 points.
It's a lot of points, and I did well, and I'm proud of myself.
Duda went 4-4, but he did get the bonus game as well, and he got all his NFL big point games. 15, 21, 22, 32 for Jason Duda.
Not quite 35, but still okay.
And I had a good week, and I didn't even compete with you clowns because I missed the bonus game. Even Max had a pretty good week. He went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He went 6-2, missed the bonus game. Say that again.
Duda had 36.
No, he didn't. He had the. We're not going to go through this on the air.
He did. I wouldn't lie to you. He had Arizona,
he got Utah,
Texas.
Right.
Yeah, he had 10 points on Colorado.
Right, shut up. Be quiet, man.
Cooking the books, Jeff.
So he won me?
He had 36, you had 35. What? Max had 11, 12, 15, 23, 25. Lost the bonus games. He had 19 points. So a pretty good week for everybody.
And the big fella did not participate.
Big fella didn't participate.
DMP for the
big
fella.
And I haven't heard from him.
It's interesting.
What's going on?
I don't know. Has he detached himself from our show?
Oh, why wouldn't he after hearing that intro with you and the Guardians?
Well, a lot of people probably have.
I'd like to hear from Zach or Jamin about this series.
Oh, they got there. I don't know. Maybe Jamin can call.
I think the Dodgers Mets series is a classic.
That could be, or might not.
Well, no, I think it's a classic.
Why?
Because they're two very interesting.
They've been two
teams.
Blowouts,
right? Well, 7-3.
It was 6-0. That game was never
and
competitive.
And the Dodgers had chances. Again, you get chances in the postseason, and if you take care of them, you win.
Yeah, but it's hard to score 8 runs no matter how many chances you get.
You got a lot of chances. They didn't come through, much like your Guardians last night. Didn't come through.
Whatever.
Okay? Let's call it like it is.
It's not. I don't want to call it like it is. I want to call Duda and Jamin and see if they can replace me permanently.
I'd love that.
Wouldn't you?
I would.
Good.
Get this sour puss off this show.
I'm not sour.
Good grief.
I'm thrilled to be alive.
My team was in the playoffs, I'd be having the time of my life.
No, you wouldn't.
Absolutely.
And if you did, I would call out that behavior as disingenuous.
At my age, I would relish it.
I don't know.
I don't know when I'm going to get it again.
I don't know if I'll ever get it. How about that?
No, I'm talking about just getting there.
Yeah, that's nothing. I've been there.
I got championships.
To cash in.
I got championships. I just like the process of getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, you don't have any championships.
I got 64.
You know,
67.
You weren't even awake for 64.
06 and 2000.
What'd you do in the.
I got 5 rings, baby.
What'd you do when the Cardinals won in 1967?
You went out
and shot baskets by yourself.
I was dang happy, and my dad was happy.
Yeah,
that was one of my favorite Cardinals teams, and I'll tell you why. Lots of reasons. Gibson, Brock, the usual, but they made a trade and brought Roger Maris over. And Roger Maris in that time frame, you know, it was a single season home run record leader.
He had 2 good years in the big leagues.
And when he came to the car, that guy had an aura. That's Roger Maris.
Yeah, but by 67, there was nothing.
He was an okay player. He's our starting right fielder for a World Series team. You know, World Series championship team, say it.
Well, Alex Verdugo might be a starting outfielder on a World Series.
Yeah. Say World Series championship team. Say it.
No. I won't.
Because you can't. Haven't had one.
I will not say those words.
I've been able to say it 5 times.
Is Roger Maris better than Alex Verdugo?
Of course he is. Are you out of your mind?
Just ask.
Roger Maris should be in the Hall of Fame.
Based on 2 good years?
Based on being what he was.
He had a decent career. In St. Louis, he hit .255 and .261.
He was a good player.
With 14 homers in 225 games.
Good player.
It's all right.
I like Roger Maris. You're not going to talk me out of it. He was on a World Series championship team.
He was on a lot of World Series championship teams.
In St. Louis.
You know how many World Series championship teams he was on? 3.
Well, that's what I call a winner. I like winners. I like people who win world championships.
Good.
You know that?
So
and Duda feels the same way. We had a talk about it off the air yesterday.
No, you didn't.
We both said, do you think Jeff will get it this year?
I don't think Duda even likes sports.
Why are you lashing out at a guy that's not even here?
Did he not lash out at me yesterday?
Not really.
A little bit.
I don't recall, did he?
Were his texts passive-aggressive stuff over the weekend, texting me during games? Is that
something? Well, that's up to the two of you.
That's not up to me whether he texts me.
That's how you two react to that. I didn't text you. You texted me last night. What'd you say?
I hate everything and want this to end.
You didn't say that. You said that's Alex Cobb's last appearance.
Hopefully.
And you said that kid's ruined his career or something to that.
I like Cantillo, too. He was hopefully going to be a rotation piece for us next year. We'll see if he recovers.
No, we'll see. I wouldn't think he'd be done, but we'll see. All right, we'll take a break and return shortly. We'll talk some high school football. Wellington, coming off a big win over Winfield, and they are gaining momentum. They've had a tough schedule, but I think they're a factor, and we'll see if Jeremiah Meeks, their coach, agrees. That's next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here's Jeremiah Meeks, the head football coach at Wellington. They are 4-2, winners of four straight. They have a game at Rose Hill coming up Friday night. Jeremiah, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We appreciate you coming on. So I follow Wellington. My wife works in Wellington, so we have kind of a connection to that community. Last win over Winfield, where you put up 63 points, beat them 63-29, indicates to me that you guys are playing really well right now because Monty Lewis knows what he's doing. Tell us a little bit about winning that game by that margin.
Kids played really well. We knew it was going to be tough coming in. Like I said, they're really well coached. Monty does a good job. That was probably the best game we've played as far as like a full game. It's kind of what we've been preaching. We've had some good first half. We've had some good second half. We haven't really put the whole thing put the whole thing together. And I feel like we did a good job of that. Kids played really, really well.
So I'm curious, Coach, because we were just talking in the first segment about my fandom for a particular baseball team. And, you know, obviously I have no control over the outcome, and it gets stressful at times. You have some control over the outcome of your team, but you're not out there physically playing the game. So how do you deal with the stress that happens during a game? How do you also kind of manage it and come down from it after a game and throughout the week? What is that kind of process like for you?
I mean, it's tough because you're essentially putting your game plan in a, you know, some 16, 17, sometimes 15, 18-year-old teenagers. So you hope that you prepare them during the week and they're confident in what they're doing and that they know what you're wanting them to do. And then after games, I mean, I don't sleep very well during the week anyway, but after games, it takes me a long time to fall asleep because you just kind of replay everything. And you kind of, the more you do it, you just get used to kind of dealing with the stressors and figure out what's worked for you to de-stress. And, you know, and then, like I said, hopefully your kids are as prepared as they need to be and are ready to go.
Talking high school football, Wellington Crusaders head coach Jeremiah Meeks, again, on the road at Rose Hill coming up this Friday. You started your season with narrow losses to two of the best smaller schools in the state, Collegiate. Yeah, that was 22-19. Then you played Andale in a really interesting game and came up a little short in that one, 56-48. Both of those schools have been on rolls of late. The way the schedule is, and you finish with Rose Hill, El Dorado, they have a combined one win among them. Would you like to maybe flip-flop that and open with lesser teams and finish with the Collegiates and Andales, or do you like the way this one's shaking out?
I don't mind playing them early, but it would have been, in an ideal situation, I would have played a team first before I had to play those two just to get the pregame jitters out. But I was I was happy with how our kids battled in both games. I mean, turnovers kind of got us the first game, and then the Andale game, it was kind of whoever had the ball last was going to win that one. So, but the nice thing about playing them early like that is you get really battle tested early. And then, you know, you've seen some of the best teams in the state early, so you know kind of where you're at and what you need to work on too. So,
yeah, so you have a quarterback, Dusty Bannister, who's thrown for a bunch of touchdowns, a couple receivers, Carter Burnett, Grady Norris, who have done extremely good things at receiver for you this year. They're all seniors. Is that a case of those guys have been playing together a long time? What have you seen as far as the connection in the passing game and just their development overall?
Well, I mean, Dusty does a great job. He gets the ball where he needs to, and, you know, we have some really skilled wide receivers. We have three really skilled wide receivers, and he does a good job of getting them in space. And, I mean, these kids have been starting since they were sophomores. So, you know, this is their third year in the program in my offense, and they've done a good job of learning it and grasping it and know what they need to do. And we get them the ball in space and let them get after it.
Jeremiah Meeks was our guest, fourth year at Wellington as their head football coach, took over a program that had struggled and a steady improvement in every year. So, Jeremiah, how close do you think you are to having this program kind of where you feel like it should be, where you set out maybe your goal to make it? How high is the bar, and are you close to getting over the bar?
Well, this is my third year. Oh, you're fine. I like where our culture's at. I think we've done a good job of developing that. And, you know, getting some wins and, you know, having good athletes helps with that. And the kids have bought in and they work hard in the weight room. And like I said, I think our culture is really, really strong, something that will continue to be strong and help us stay on the upward trajectory that we are as a program.
Yeah, so what are you kind of looking to accomplish in your last couple games of the regular season? I'm sure you want to obviously stay healthy and things like that, but what do you want to see as you go into the postseason? Just any kind of areas where you feel like you need to sharpen up as that begins?
You know, obviously staying healthy, but we're really young up front, offensive line-wise, and they've just progressively gotten better. We've got a couple seniors back that were injured, and we've been getting them back in. One of our senior offensive linemen, he's been getting better and better. He tore his knee up during basketball, so he's played two games, and you know he's getting back in shape and getting back in the speedy thing. So as long as our, you know, just keep getting our offensive line better, it's going to be kind of the big thing. And then just, like I said, staying healthy and getting our wrinkles ready for playoffs and all that stuff.
Final moments here with Jeremiah Meeks. I go back a long way. I remember when Wellington was a powerhouse back in the day. Are you starting to get that feel back in the community? Are the townspeople starting to believe, or are they believing? How much has that all changed in the time you've been there?
We have good support. I mean, it was packed last week. I've seen the fan support pick up each year we've been here, and you know, we have a good crowd each week, and they do a good job supporting the boys. So,
you know, it's they've had such a good girls basketball program in Wellington in recent years. Just talk about, Jeremiah, when you go to Wellington, when you arrive there, you took this job. I'm sure you thought this was something that could happen. But what's it take? What's it take to get a program going in the right direction that had been not maybe going in the right direction for quite some time? How do you go about that? What do you do?
Just, you know, getting kids bought in, building that relationship. I mean, anything that's successful starts with a relationship, and getting a relationship built with the kids that they trust me, that they know that I have their best interests, and then get them in the weight room, start getting kids stronger, and put them in positions to be successful, figure out what they do well, what they don't do well, kind of tailor an offense and a defense to that, and start getting them a little bit of success, and then you build a little more success, and then you recruit the hallways, and you start getting some kids out that may not have been out, and you just build depth, and you build culture, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of hard work. Any coach that's done it will tell you it's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
Well, you've done a heck of a job in your 3 years at Wellington. You have Rose Hill on the road this Friday night. Right now, 4-2 on a four-game winning streak. Jeremiah, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thanks. A little Wellington banter. My wife will love me for that.
The Crusaders.
Are you okay over there?
No.
I don't get it, man. This is it's a beautiful day out. You're in the playoffs. I mean, I'd give anything to be in the playoffs. My team's not doing a thing today.
Nothing.
No.
And I'm happy that we're in the playoffs, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, but you dread sitting there for 3 hours, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing how you're going to feel from minute to minute.
Isn't that what sports is?
No, not all of it. I'm not Vikings, Broncos, I don't feel that way. I feel that way watching one team.
But their fans do. That's why we're fans.
Yeah, but they don't care about this game.
No, but they care about their game.
And baseball's different. Football, you get one game in the playoffs, and yes, it's stressful, and I get it. I'm not downplaying any of that. But it's seven games, pitch by pitch. Any of that, it's
what did Aaron Rodgers say about Mike Williams last night? I'm behind the times.
I didn't know that he said anything about Mike.
I depend on you for this stuff. And, of course, then the Raiders trade Devontae Adams over to the Jets. And I can't stand the Jets, and it's mainly because I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. And I hope they lose every game, and I'm happy when they do lose. And then the clown goes on Pat McAfee every week, and who cares? And why do we care? Why do we care about Aaron Rodgers? Can somebody please explain it?
Because people tell us to. He always puts himself in the news and in the spotlight, and he'll go on Pat McAfee and say nothing, and people think it's something. And it's
what did he say about Mike Williams?
He just said he ran a bad route or whatever. He should have gotten to this spot and didn't, blah, blah, blah. By the way, yesterday you guys were talking about that kid at Boise State. I think you're the only two people on the planet who didn't know about him.
I'd heard of him, but I didn't know he was having this kind of a year. And neither did you.
Yes, I did.
And now you're going to come in here and you're gonna make light of Duda and me.
He's in.
You're lashing out.
He's on the ESPN top headlines every week because he rushes for like 200 yards.
I don't watch the ESPN top headlines.
On their website?
I didn't know he averaged 10 yards per carry.
Yeah, he's in the.
I didn't know he'd been at Boise State his entire career.
Well, I'm not saying I knew his biography.
I did a little digging on the kid.
I didn't go to his hometown and research
him. Why are you bringing that up?
But
because you gotta get back. You gotta get even somehow.
No, it's
you feel like even, in your world, I'm on the defensive now. If I can get this old man to crack a little, then I'm feeling. Look at you, you're smiling.
Yeah, it's funny.
You're smiling. You're feeling better. You don't even care about the baseball game now. You got me. Good job.
Good, thank you.
You feel good about it.
No, I feel better if I
did
also...
Do you feel good lashing out?
I'd feel better if I also told you that when you started having that conversation and you're talking about DJ Giddens being first-team All-American, I turned to my daughter and said, no, Boise State guy.
And that makes you feel better.
And then we called you and...
And what a horrible call.
You didn't like that call?
No, it was a terrible call.
I thought it was fun. Aaron enjoyed it.
So Devontae Adams goes to the Jets. They're 2-4. They've lost 3 in a row. But I'm going to tell you, and this is what makes me sick, I look at the rest of their schedule, they could win a bunch of games.
Could. I'm not sure Devontae Adams is a huge difference maker.
He'll help because he'll help.
He's been throwing to Alan Lazard and Garrett Wilson a bunch.
They got the Steelers on the road. Hopefully the Steelers figure out a way. Then they got the Patriots, the Texans at home. So they could be 3-6.
Okay.
But then they got the Cardinals, Colts, Seahawks, Dolphins, Jags, Rams, Bills, and Dolphins. They could win a bunch of those.
That's a 7-10 team to me.
They could win a bunch of those games.
Well, they could lose some.
And I'll hate it.
They're not that good.
That schedule's not that good.
But they're not that good. So the other teams that they play are also looking at, wow, we could beat that team.
And I should like the Jets because they have our own Breece Hall on the team.
He had a nice game last night.
And normally, under normal circumstances, I'd be all over that. But under these circumstances, I can't.
Maybe we can get him out of there in a trade. Where would you like to see him go? And don't say the Raiders.
I don't really have a team.
I know.
It's a lonely feeling, man.
It's not that lonely.
I don't really have a team I even, you know. I don't know who it would be.
So what? You never have.
Yes, I have.
I was with
St. Louis Football Cardinals and the St. Louis Football Rams.
For a year or two. It's not like you were.
No, I liked the Rams from the moment. I liked them in St. Louis.
It's not like you were coming to me saying, hey, watch this Tony Banks kid.
I paid attention.
When Kurt Warner got there.
I paid attention.
That was when it was easy to be everybody was a Rams fan.
Jesse Newell with us from the Kansas City Star, their Chiefs beat writer. Jesse, welcome. How are you today?
Good. Yeah, Bowling for Soup is me and Jeff, not you, Bob. That's our lane right there.
I can't relate, but hey, I try.
Put some more respect on their name, though, when you say it. Bowling for Soup.
They got some bangers. You know, 1979, Stella. They got some good ones. You can go back in the Spotify and find them. Yeah.
Almost.
I'll be all over it. I'm going to delve in.
Oh, I can tell right away Chiefs. You are, Bob. Yeah.
Let's talk some Chiefs. They are unbeaten, 5-0. They're just coming off a bye week. They play late Sunday afternoon against the 49ers in San Francisco. This is such an interesting NFL season so far because while the Chiefs are the only unbeaten team remaining in the AFC, I think there's a lot of pretty good teams in the AFC, and it's hard for me to get a clear-cut picture of who I deem to be the favorite. I guess you have to pick the Chiefs coming off two Super Bowl wins, but it's pretty interesting, is it not?
It is, and I think you pick the Chiefs, too, because they've won these games early, that especially the Ravens game, that's going to come down and probably make a tiebreaker for them, you know, and the one seed is such an advantage. You get to play all your games at home, and you get the bye week that nobody else does. And, you know, we know the Chiefs overcame that last year and still beat everybody on the road, but it's just tougher to do. I mean, if you keep having coin flip type games, you know, odds are you might lose one, and you might not make it to the place you want to make it to. But, yeah, this is a great test for the Chiefs. I mean, their schedule actually lightens up after this, but San Francisco is about as tough of a game as they could find in the NFL. I mean, you see it from the Vegas odds. The Chiefs are actually a small underdog in this game, just like they were in the Super Bowl against the 49ers. So this should be a good one. And like I said, you would probably pick the Chiefs at this point, but this is sort of set up, even with the 49ers dropping a couple games, it's going to be one of the games of the season in the NFL, I would think. It could be another Super Bowl preview and definitely a Super Bowl review. So this should be a good one. And obviously, I think a lot of people would be looking forward to it.
Yeah, so speaking of Vegas odds, Patrick Mahomes is the betting favorite for MVP in a lot of places. FanDuel has him as that. I guess just the question is why. It can't be based on his current performance. It has to be based on what they believe and think he'll do, and he's given every reason to think that he can get back potentially because he wins Super Bowls all the time. So is it that, or is it fair to expect Patrick Mahomes to get to that level?
Yeah, it is interesting. I was going over his stats. I just had it in the story yesterday talking about the Chiefs' left tackle, how he seems to kind of – Mahomes has had some happy feet, you know, in the pocket because he can't feel comfortable. And he's averaging 242 passing yards per game this year. He has 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And as you said, I mean, he's the MVP favorite right now in the betting markets. I have to think that's a narrative-based thought. You know what I mean? And by saying that, I'm meaning two things. For one, he was nobody's MVP ballot last year and then just was perfect almost through the playoffs and led them to the Super Bowl. And all the offseason content was, how did anybody doubt Mahomes? Why would you doubt Mahomes? All those sorts of things. And nobody wants to be wrong again about him. You know what I mean? I figure he's going to turn around. And then the second thing is the narrative for this is, I mean, even look today, like Aaron Rodgers gets Devontae Adams, you know, an extra weapon for him out there when he already had, you know, other guys that are able to catch and be good on the outside. Alan Lazard, who's all in with him. Garrett Wilson, who's, you know, one of the up-and-coming receivers. Mahomes, you look around, you go, well, he's got Kareem Hunt, who was released by the Cleveland Browns, and he's got Juju Smith-Schuster, who the Patriots paid $7 million to go away, and he's got Carson Steele, who, you know, fumbles about once a game and is a rookie, and he's got Mecole Hardman, who the Jets, you know, couldn't get rid of quick enough last year in a trade. And so, again, the narrative part of this is that Mahomes is doing more with less, and they remain undefeated. But to your point, Jeff, I mean, I think you're watching the – if you're watching these games, if you're a Chiefs fan and watching these games, you'd be the first to admit that, like, Mahomes does not look like himself this year. Like, he has not played to the level that they expect him to play. So I do think there is a disconnect there to be like, hey, this guy is the MVP favorite. He's playing that way. I don't think that at all. I just sort of think it's people in my position probably that are going to vote on this thing that might be a little bit concerned that they're going to be proven wrong again in the playoffs, and the thought that, hey, he's going to do more with less because the pieces around him are a little bit, you know, depleted without Rashee Rice, without Isaiah Pacheco, you know, without Hollywood Brown in there. So it is a fascinating thing. I was just looking up those odds the other day as well, and I was surprised that he was still the favorite. But I do think that the human part of this is very much playing into that, and the fact that people still believe that he's going to be better the rest of the season, even with the limited pieces that he has around him.
Jesse Newell, our guest, covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. I think he did look a little more like Patrick Mahomes in the win over New Orleans, although no touchdown passes. But one thing I look at with Mahomes, how is he able to spread the ball around? And he had eight different receivers in that game. The leading receiver, as you alluded to, Juju Smith-Schuster, and the leading rusher, Kareem Hunt. That's what's amazing about this team, and they just it just feels like everything they do and everyone they bring in, even when we all question it, it seems to work out. And then secondly, Jesse, I wanted to mention the defense, because we talk about Mahomes, we talk about all these other offensive personnel. This is the best Chiefs defense in a while, isn't it?
Well, not only that, I mean, what they were not very good at. I mean, I've been on the beat now 3 years with the Chiefs. That first year, they couldn't stop anybody against the run. You know what I mean? Like, every week, it was like sort of praying that Mahomes could get a lead so that the other team wouldn't run the ball, because any team that wanted to run the ball could. I mean, you go up and down the line, like, Derrick Henry is on pace to you know, have the most rushing yards of anybody, and the Chiefs shut him down week one. You know, Alvin Kamara had four touchdowns in a game earlier this year. Chiefs shut him down last week. You know, like, any running back who comes to Arrowhead or who's playing the Chiefs, you know, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier, didn't do much in the Atlanta Falcons game. That has become a real strength for them. And whether you want to credit Chris Jones, who was tearing up people up front, you know, Nick Bolton flowing as a linebacker, Leo Chanel, who's kind of an underappreciated guy at the linebacker, they've turned that into a real strength. I still think they have some coverage issues, especially in the middle. I don't think Drew Tranquil has played as well as he can play, especially in past seasons in coverage. It leaves a little bit of an opening there, kind of in the intermediate. But, man, I mean, this is sort of – I think all these things you just talked about, Bob, is kind of like what you don't talk about very much when you have a good coaching staff, which is they develop their players. The guys that are young become good players, like Trent McDuffie's a star for the Chiefs now. Jalen Watson, you know, emerges as the cornerback too and has played great the last 2 weeks. And then – when they bring in guys, it always works. Like, if I kind of mentioned this before, but like, if you are the Patriots owner, what are you thinking right now? Like, if you were basically begged by your GM to pay $7 million to make Juju Smith-Schuster go away, and then on Monday Night Football, he catches 130 yards for the best team in football. Like, don't you bring your GM into the office going, hey, what's going on here? Like, why can this guy go produce on the biggest stage for the best team, and I had to pay $7 million to make him go away? We couldn't figure out what to do with him here. And so there's just so many benefits over and over of a good coaching staff, whether it's young secondary guys for the Chiefs continually getting better and always getting better, and that way when their guys get expensive, they can move on. L'Jarius Sneed moves on from Tennessee. We're not talking about L'Jarius Sneed, are we? We're not really, because he's not played well at Tennessee, and instead Jalen Watson's playing well for the Chiefs. They always have this kind of system in place where they have guys getting better, and then anybody they sign that they bring into the loop that has played for the team before, they have this constant, you know, system of guys coming in and rejuvenating their careers, whether it's Kareem Hunt or Juju Smith-Schuster or Mecole Hardman. So it's a really, really good thing to have. And I think you just, this is one of those weeks you really do have to give your flowers to the coaching staff, whether it's Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, Andy Reid, Joe Blamire, the passing game coordinator. I mean, they are making things work and maximizing guys, and that's about all you can ask from a coaching staff.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the offensive personnel a little bit, and obviously you never want anybody to be injured, especially long term, like a lot of the Chiefs guys are. But is there a silver lining in that it allows Mahomes to spread it around a little bit more? He's always been successful doing that. And long term, do you think that is the play, or when they get into games with Buffalo and Baltimore and Houston, perhaps in the postseason, will they need to have kind of a focal point of the offense?
So I think Mahomes is really good at playing chameleon. And what I mean by that is his first year starting the league, he was the second in the NFL in average depth of target, how far his average pass sailed downfield. Last year, he was second lowest in the NFL. This year, he's either lowest or second lowest in the NFL. He's become like Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have the pieces. They don't have the downfield threats. So he plays within the scheme of the offense. And I think that's what Andy Reid and Matt Nagy are so good at scheming up, is they are all about space. I mean, they're kind of like the Warriors are in the basketball. You know, they're that in the NFL, where they're like, we want to open up guys where they are so wide open that it's easy to distinguish and find those guys. As long as you have the answers to the test, you can throw it to Noah Gray, but he's going to be wide open, and he can gain 18 yards just as well as any backup tight end can gain 18 yards, because you're just not putting the ball in danger, and he is in a space because Travis Kelce is taking up this safety, because, McCormick's taking up this guy in the perimeter. So I think they are really good at this. Now, is it what you want with Patrick Mahomes? I mean, probably not. Like, you probably want him to be able to use up all of his abilities, use his deep ball throwing, use his ability to read downfield. But, I mean, that's just not what the Chiefs can do right now, because what we talked about, the personnel is a little bit limited. So I still think they're going to go get a receiver. I mean, we've seen a bunch of trades happen today in the NFL. Amari Cooper, went to a different place. Devontae Adams. I still think the Chiefs will be in the market to get a guy. They've done that the last 2 years, whether it was Kadarius Toney or Mecole Hardman. I think they'll be in the market for that. But when that doesn't work, I think, to your point, Jeff, I mean, they have found a way. There was a next-gen stat last week that Patrick Mahomes had zero tight window throws against the Saints. I mean, he just took what was there, made mostly short passes, and he threw for a bunch of yards, and the Chiefs' offense was successful. So it is one of those, if it's not broken, you don't necessarily want to fix it, but I do think they would love to add just a little bit more talent to that room, just to say, okay, if you can get Patrick Mahomes working on 90% capacity instead of 70% capacity, how much further can this offense go? But he's pretty good at 70% too, and that's what we've seen in the Saints game, is that if they can nickel and dime their way, they'll find a way, and that's what we saw from the Chiefs this past game.
It's remarkable. It's a remarkable franchise. I mean, if you'd have told me they wouldn't have Pacheco, Rice, and Hollywood Brown, and they'd be 5-0 and Super Bowl favorites, I don't know. It's just kind of hard to explain, but you do a great job of explaining it. Thank you, Jesse.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks.
All right, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. I don't get it. I mean, you look at – I was just sitting here looking at their personnel. Kareem Hunt, Carson Steele, Samaje Perine, Travis Kelce, who's playing better, Juju Smith-Schuster, Justin Watson, Xavier Worthy, who's been okay in spots.
He's found his moments.
He's had moments, but he's not a superstar right now.
Not yet. Not maybe Tyree never will Hill. Be, but he's serviceable. And
well, yeah, but he's not. Remember that first game?
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
We thought, whoa. Say that five times.
Not gonna.
We thought, whoa.
I know. Not in the mood.
All right, we'll take a. You're never in the mood. I'm always in the mood.
Of course I'm in the mood sometimes.
Whoa. That'll be the theme of the day.
Is the day almost over?
Why are you so mean?
I'm not mean.
You're going to see the Eagles this weekend. Why aren't you excited about that?
I am excited.
It's hard to tell.
But it's we got to fly. And that's stressful.
Tough life.
It is hard.
All right, we'll be back. We've got an hour left. Stay with us.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.